Welcome to Journal Club for March 5th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Imagine this. You're about to take a long-haul flight across the Atlantic. You've made it to the airport on time. You checked your bags. You got your boarding pass. Went through security. Walked to your gate. Stood in line forever. And finally made it to your seat. You're settling in with your neck pillow and your eye mask when the captain comes on the loudspeaker.
Good evening, everybody. This is,
This is your captain speaking.
We are gonna be headed off just as soon as I figure out where we are going.
Not exactly confidence-inspiring, right? Good luck getting any rest on that flight. Unless you're the captain, apparently. Now, I'm exaggerating the scenario here, but the problem of pilot fatigue is actually very real. When captains get tired, things get dangerous. Numerous aviation incidents have been caused by slower reaction times, impaired decision-making, and cognitive overload. And unfortunately, it's surprisingly hard for airlines to predict if a captain is going to become dangerously tired during a flight. You see, the most common culprit of fatigue is an excessive workload. But here's the thing, fatigue itself is a delayed effect, while workload is an immediate condition that can be assessed in real time. A pilot might not feel tired yet, but their cognitive resources could already be stretched thin, making them more prone to mistakes. So measuring workload provides a way to detect and mitigate the problem before fatigue sets in, rather than simply reacting after a pilot is already exhausted. They already have systems that do that, but flights are long, so you really need a system that is preventative, not reactive. Now, you'd think that since airlines are the ones assigning the flights to each captain, they'd know exactly how much workload the captain has been experiencing. But it's actually much more complicated than that, for a few reasons. Pilots can work for multiple airlines. Different pilots experience workload differently. Existing tracking focuses on duty hours, not on cognitive strain. Unpredictable in-flight challenges add variability. And workload builds up over time in ways that aren't always obvious. So what is the airline to do? How can they accurately assess a captain's real-time workload? That's where today's paper comes in. In this article, the authors develop a machine learning-based workload classification system using EEG and EMG signals. It is designed to help airlines objectively measure and predict pilot workload based on physiological data rather than relying on estimates and self-reports. If it works, it could be a tool that airlines integrate into pilot monitoring systems to enhance flight safety and prevent fatigue-related errors. Let's see how they built it, how they evaluated it, and the results they obtained. The paper introduces a workload classification system called TRM-MAAN. I'm just going to call it TRM-MAAN. It is designed to assess pilot workload in real time using physiological data. This system relies on two primary signals, EEG, which measures electrical activity in the brain, and EMG, which measures muscle activity. Both of these signals offer insight into a pilot's cognitive and physical state, but integrating them into a single, reliable model is challenging. EEG and EMG operate on different timescales and frequency ranges, meaning that traditional fusion techniques often fail to align them properly. Moreover, workload is inherently dynamic, changing continuously throughout a flight, so any meaningful classification model must account for temporal dependencies rather than treating data points in isolation. To address these issues, the framework uses a transformer. The reason for choosing a transformer over other deep learning architectures lies in its ability to model long-range dependencies. Traditional convolutional networks, like CNNs, excel at detecting spatial features but struggle with time-dependent sequences because they process data in fixed local structures. Recurrent networks, RNNs, and their variants like LSTMs were designed for sequential data, but they suffer from things like vanishing gradients and difficulties capturing dependencies over long time horizons. This is particularly problematic when analyzing physiological signals where critical fluctuations may occur over extended durations rather than within short isolated timeframes. Transformers circumvent these issues by employing self-attention mechanisms, which allow the model to dynamically assign different levels of importance to various time steps in the signal rather than processing them in a rigidly sequential manner. In this specific system, the self-attention mechanism enables the model to track fluctuations in cognitive activity and muscular strain across extended flight segments. Unlike RNNs, transformers analyze the entire input sequence simultaneously, identifying subtle, nonlinear interactions between different points in time. This is crucial for workload classification, as neither fatigue nor cognitive strain manifest as an abrupt spike in a single time step. They both appear as gradual, context-dependent shifts in physiological signals. By capturing both short-term variations and long-term trends, the transformer architecture ensures that workload classifications are based on a holistic understanding of how pilot stress and exertion evolve throughout the flight. In addition to temporal modeling, the new system introduces a multimodal adversarial alignment mechanism to improve the integration of signals from different sources. One of the key difficulties in multimodal machine learning is that different signal types often have incompatible statistical properties. Some are low amplitude, non-stationary, and highly sensitive to noise, while others are higher amplitude, have distinct frequency characteristics, and greater susceptibility to movement artifacts. Simply concatenating features without addressing these differences can lead to what's called modal dominance, where one type of data disproportionately influences classification outcomes. This potentially distorts the model's ability to generalize across individuals and scenarios. Traditional fusion techniques struggle with this issue because they do not explicitly account for disparities in feature distributions. To overcome this, the authors employ adversarial learning, a framework originally developed in generative adversarial networks, GANs. The idea is that this approach will force the model to learn shared modality invariant representations that balance information across both data sources. For context, traditional GANs work by setting up a competitive process between two neural networks, a generator, which learns to produce increasingly realistic outputs, and a discriminator, which attempts to distinguish between real and generated data. Side note, for more information on GANs, see our episode from December 21st, 2024. Anyway, this system is different. The adversarial alignment mechanism in this system follows a similar principle, but instead of generating synthetic data, it refines feature representations to make them modality invariant. One part of the system, the feature extractor, learns meaningful representations from both modalities. A separate component, the modal classifier, attempts to determine the source of each feature representation. The feature extractor is trained adversarially, meaning it actively seeks to confuse the modal classifier, making it increasingly difficult to distinguish between the two sources. This adversarial tension compels the extractor to learn a common, modality-agnostic feature space where both inputs contribute complementary information without one overpowering the other. By reducing intermodality distribution shifts, this approach enhances the robustness of the classification system, ensuring that it effectively leverages both indicators. The result is a more balanced, generalizable model capable of accurately detecting workload variations across different individuals and conditions, even when the raw signals exhibit variability. Compared to traditional fusion strategies, which often treat different data sources as independent or naively concatenate them, this method actively encourages the network to bridge the gap between modalities, making it more resistant to biases and inconsistencies that would otherwise degrade classification accuracy. The combination of global temporal attention and modality invariant feature learning makes this framework particularly well-suited for real-time applications where accuracy and adaptability are critical. Once trained, the model was tested on its ability to classify workload into three categories: low, moderate, and high. They focused on accuracy and on F1 score, which measures the balance between precision and recall. The results showed their system significantly outperforming existing approaches. And they also assessed the system's efficiency, measuring the computational complexity in terms of memory usage and inference speed. Overall, the evaluation provided strong evidence that TRM-MAN is a viable solution. Not perfect, certainly, but viable nonetheless. So what can we learn from this paper? Well, the potential benefits extend beyond aviation. The author's methodology, outlined in this study, could be applied to other high-risk professions where cognitive overload can lead to safety risks. If you find yourself needing to design such a system, the author's work could act as a blueprint. And more generally, this paper provides a roadmap for synthesizing two signals with different temporal dynamics and data distributions. Not an easy task. This is applicable to biomedical monitoring, human-machine interaction, autonomous systems, or any problem space that has two different types of sensor data that need to be aligned and interpreted together. If you'd like more details about their experimental setup or the results, then I'd highly recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.